This next step is made possible through a grant from Harutyun Kelejan. Oh, we're getting ready for a new president to come into office. Meanwhile, the Taliban is alive and well in the Armenian church as we see people putting toilet tissue on their head. Does this make sense? I'm Father Voskin, priest of the Armenian church, connecting the dots between all of those stories and much more. This is episode number 450 of The Next Step, and I'm inviting you to take it with us right now.
This is Susie from In His Shoes, welcoming you to our ninth year of broadcasting The Next Step. The next step is a step, a stride, moving us forward. Here, Father Vazgen provides his unique and distinctive voice for Armenian Orthodoxy, giving an intelligent and practical answer to the challenges of life, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by Jesus Christ. It's a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. The next steps are serious, fun, informative, and most of all relevant, as religion should be. So get ready. We're taking the next step.
Well, Merry Christmas once again. Are you tired of that? January 19th today. It is Christmas in Jerusalem on the old calendar. I warned you about this. I warned you about this a while ago, right? We Armenians, when we do Christmas, it's a long time. We celebrate it all year long. Well, listen to me. If you happen to be on the old calendar, which very few people are, but I guess a few people in Jerusalem, enough that it matters, right? Well, December 25th, the old calendar's 13 days off, right? So December 25th translates to January 7th. That explains why the Russians and people on the old calendar celebrate Christmas on January 7th. Nothing to do with our January 6th date, right? Okay. It's really a transposition of the December 25th date. And so 12 days from there, well, the New Year's, one of our dear ladies, Takush, called me on January 13th to wish me a happy New Year. January 13th, old calendar, yes. There are people here, even in America, who go by that old calendar, believe it or not. She called me on January 13th and said, Happy New Year. And right away, I mean, you connect the dots, right? She's from Jerusalem, okay, so it must be one of the old calendar people. And today happens to be, well, the January 6th, truncated to January 19th, 13 days plus. So, happy and Merry Christmas to all of you who are celebrating on the old calendar. It's a long time coming, okay, but we got through it, okay, and I promise this will be it for right now, although we are a big proponent of celebrating Christmas every single day. I have a lot going on today. It is a rather gloomy day here in Southern California, gloomy in the sense that, well, we are spoiled down here in Southern California with a lot of sunshine. We love it. And when we get one or two days of clouds, when we get one or two days of rain, oh, it sets us off fiercely. I mean, it is gloomy. It's kind of like, it's depressing, yes. I went to a few schools, which cheered me up. I had a chance to talk to some of the kids. That's coming up in a little bit. I'm going to be sharing with you some of the mentality, which I refer to as Taliban mentality. Yeah, Taliban in the Armenian church, okay. Coming up in the second portion, Taliban mentality, and some reflections on what's going on in our world, especially with the inauguration of the 45th president, Donald Trump. I have some reflections, and no, I won't get political, but I do feel like it's important. I heard a few people, especially this past weekend. It was Martin Luther King Jr. weekend. I had a chance to speak at Glendale Community College, And I have to tell you, I have to be honest with you, there is a disappointment with what's going on. And it's not about the politics. It's a disappointment in the religious community as well. And I want to share that with you coming up in the second portion. It's going to be rather intense. I hope you will stay on board with me, and I hope you won't be shied away from some of the comments that I'm going to be making. But that's coming up in the second portion, right after the song of the day. Call it the Taliban mentality. Taliban, which goes all the way from head coverings to the role of women to just a view of ourselves. Coming up in the second portion of today's show. Right now, I heard some bad news just a little bit a while ago. My roommate from Holy Etchmiadzin passed away. This is when I was a student there. And I was with the Archbishop today, and he informed me that he had passed away. Well, we knew him. The Archbishop knew him too. We were all students together. Just kind of like a mark in time, you realize that, you know, things do change, things do progress, and to every beginning there is also an end. I had some fond memories of him. We were roommates in the sense that, well, we were both from America. And think about that, 1977, 78. You don't get too many of those people in the Soviet Union who go there to study at the monastery. And what was funny about this young man, he came, and because we were both from America, they placed us together in the same room. So we got to be roommates together. And we met each other there in Etchmiadzin. He was from Fresno. I was from Los Angeles, California. And we started getting along really well. And 2 weeks later, the dean of the seminary came into our room one night. And he says, "I'm splitting you guys apart." You know, for what? Well, we were talking English. 2 weeks we were together, and all we were doing was talking English to each other. And guess what? Part of the purpose for being there was to learn Armenian. And so probably in retrospect, now that I look at it, probably the best decision made by the dean that entire semester, that he split us apart, because it forced us to speak in Armenian and learn the Armenian language at a much more accelerated rate. But still, we saw each other and we'd hang out together during our off time in Yerevan. A wonderful man, Rangar Bedyan. And had some nice memories. So that kind of just caught me off guard today. And it also reminded me that, you know, time does move forward. I got back from Portland. And again, another Christmas reminder, because landed in Portland and to celebrate the Divine Liturgy last Sunday. And it was snow. It was all snowed over. Like I'm talking about like a good solid foot of snow on top of the cars. So it was a white Christmas, and we don't get a chance to celebrate and enjoy Christmas in that whiteness, in that snowy atmosphere. So it was really special. And again, this was a late Christmas because the Portland community is without a priest. I was supposed to be there for Armenian Christmas for January 6th. It got snowed over by a storm, which prevented me from going there. So there I was on January 15th celebrating the Armenian Christmas liturgy along with water blessings. So it was a very, very special day for me, a very special blessing. And it was so nice to see people up there that it had been a while, people that connected with me. And thank you very much for coming out there, connecting, well, in a very spiritual way. And we also had a chance to talk about the upcoming conference, to the extent that I'm hoping that this group, I'd say a good 10 of them coming from Portland, Oregon, down to Los Angeles, I hope that will work out. While in Portland, it was interesting. I had a group of people that came up. In fact, one young man, I shouldn't say little, I guess he was a teenager, young teenager, he came up and he said, "Oh, I watch you on TV, I watch you on the internet, I've seen your things, and I've been like sharing your messages with people." And I got really excited. You know, it's kind of nice, you know, young guy, he's into it. And then the parents came over. Oh, yeah, yeah, this. And so I'm realizing that we have such an incredible network of how we're connected. And you really don't realize this. I think I've shared this with you many times, because whether you're doing the videos, which we do, like now it's gotten down to once a month or because of time restrictions, but definitely doing this podcast on a weekly basis, you get into the idea of like, are there people out there? You know, you're in front of a microphone and you've got a small little audience, your producer and your engineer are standing there looking at you, and sometimes they take a break and they're not even looking at you, and you wonder who's out there listening. I got an interesting few comments, which was it was kind of like flattering in a sense, but it also kind of made me wonder, like, what's going on here? Listen to this. This is from somebody. He left it on January 6th, and I don't know why I'm assuming this is a man. It could, I don't know. Anyway, his handle is Be Positive.
Okay.
Her handle. Anyway, it says, I am watching Father Voskin for almost 6 hours today. This is on the YouTube channel. And the YouTube channel, in particular, what he's watching is actually an archive. It's a video archive of what appears on the Diocesan website. So very few followers on the archive page. And I guess he found it. I'm through doing searches or what? He found the video channel. Okay, so he goes, I'm watching Father Voskin for almost 6 hours today, and he is excellent with his words, and he's been active since last September 2016. Why I don't see any comments or any support for his channel at all? Well, like I said, mostly our work is done elsewhere, but you found an archive channel. But it's interesting because he throws it out there like, what's wrong with you people? How come you're not watching? I'm binging on this guy. This guy's a binge watcher. Can you imagine 6 hours of me sitting there and watching 6 hours? Holy moly. I'm reading this and I'm going, what is this guy for real? But again, it goes on. He goes, well, 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 this reminds me of Sodom and Gomorrah, town that God, set fire to this town and saved only one person. I go, okay. It's too good to be true. This guy's probably off the, he's probably off the deep end. Okay, Sodom and Gomorrah. No, no, no. Listen to what he says. He says it reminds me of Sodom and Gomorrah, the town, and he saved only one person. And I feel I am that one person right now. Hooray for me! God bless. Then he goes on, and this is a series of things. He goes on, he says, Orhnya Der, which is the Armenian greeting for a priest. Today I was looking for an answer on the internet in English, how to explain the right way to celebrate Christmas on January 6th to my kids. And they were born in the United States, and I found your channel, Father Voskin. And while I'm preparing our special supper for the event, I am totally hooked on your channel for almost 3 hours now. Okay, so I guess this message was 3 hours before the last one, where he'd wasted another 3 hours. As my 15-year-old son asks me always, is it cool or is he cool? They use that word for almost everything. Well, now I can say you are a cool priest, and it shows in your eyes. Thank you for your wonderful way of presentation for our Armenians' beliefs. Okay, I don't mind being cool. That's pretty nice. Yeah. But this is why I'm reading. I'm sorry. I'm just... This is not a self-promotion, although it sounds like it, doesn't it? That's okay. You know, we'll do this right now because this is fun. He says, I thought the first... this is on the video that we had about the hoopla stuff, okay? And we're talking about the fans, those big ornamental fans during the Divine Liturgy, you know, with the jingles and everything. And I explained that the kushots, in that video, I explained that the kushots is really a way of getting rid of the insects. Actually, kushots, kushel, means to shoo away. To shoo away. And these giant fans were used in the early days when there was no windows, right? And insects would fly in, especially during hot summers, especially in agrarian societies where you'd have the tilled soil and you'd have the animals around. So imagine that the Holy Sacred Sacrament was taking place and you'd have flies and insects coming in. So they would fan the area. They'd have these giant fans, kushel, to shoo away the insects that were coming in. Well, with the advent of windows and different systems to keep out those insects. There wasn't a need for it. But those fans, I guess, started taking on an ornamental function and part of the liturgy. So they put those jingles on them, and now we jingle with them, and we move them around. So that's kind of neat. Okay, so he says, I thought the first one, the kishots, they used to awaken some sleepyheads we see during the Badarak, during the Divine Liturgy. Just joking. Thank you for your wonderful details. God bless you. Yes, I wish we had some kind of thing that we could wake up the sleepyheads. Finally, he says, thank you for posting these information to us. I'm going to play this today and tomorrow, January 6th, for my children to know why we celebrate Christmas on January 6th. I knew most of it, since I'm an Armenian from Iran, and our children were born here in the United States. My wishes for you and your family, health, wealth, and happiness. Thank you again. And I will take that very special wish. Thank you very much. God bless. And I still don't understand how you're binge watching 6 hours of me, but thank you. I appreciate it. I'm very flattered. Right now, before we get on to the second portion and everything, a little personal note. Today, of course, marks the last day that President Barack Obama is in office. And I received an email in my inbox. Kind of interesting. And I want to share it with you because it was just really beautifully written. Obviously, it's not exclusively for me. An email that was sent by the president, the POTUS, the President of the United States, on his very last day in office. I was very, very touched. He says, it's been a long-standing tradition for a sitting president of the United States to leave a parting letter in the Oval Office for the American elected to take his or her place. It's a letter meant to share what we know, what we've learned, and what small wisdom may help our successor bear the great responsibility that comes with the highest office in our land and the leadership of the free world. But before I leave my note for the 45th president, I want to say one final thank you for the honor of serving as your 44th. Because all that I've learned in my time in office, I've learned from you. You made me a better president, and you made me a better man. And he goes on to talk about through the 8 years, and not about the specifics of what he did, but just about the goodness and what he saw as a president. I'll put a link on today's show notes. You could read it in its entirety. It's actually, you know what? I'm just going to read it. Throughout these 8 years, you have been the source of goodness, resilience, and hope from which I've pulled strength. I've seen neighbors and communities take care of each other during the worst economic crisis of our lifetimes. I have mourned with grieving families searching for answers and found grace in a Charleston church. I've taken heart from the hope of young graduates and our newest military officers. I've seen our scientists help a paralyzed man regain his sense of touch, and wounded warriors once given up for dead walk again. I've seen Americans whose lives have been saved because they finally have access to medical care, and families whose lives have been changed because their marriages are recognized as equal to our own. I've seen the youngest of children remind us through their actions and through their generosity of our obligations to care for refugees, or work for peace, and above all, to look out for each other. I've seen you, the American people, in all your decency, determination, good humor, and kindness, and in all your daily acts of citizenship, I've seen your future unfolding. Our future unfolding. All of us, regardless of party, should throw ourselves into that work, the joyous work of citizenship. Not just when there is an election, not just when our own narrow interest is at stake, but over the full span of a lifetime. I'll be right there with you every step of the way. And when the arc of progress seems slow, remember, America is not a project of any one person. The single most powerful word in our democracy is the word we the people. We shall overcome. Yes, we can. President Barack Obama.
Anybody here seen my old friend Abraham. Can you tell me where he's gone? He freed a lot of people, but it seemed good they die young. You know, I just looked around and he's gone. Anybody here seen my old friend John? Can you tell me where he's gone? He freed a lot of people, but it seemed good they die young. I just looked around and he's gone. Anybody here seen my old friend Martin? Can you tell me where he's gone? He freed a lot of people, but it seemed good they die young. I just looked around and he's gone. Didn't you love the things that they stood for? Didn't they try to find some someday? Soon he's gonna be one day. Anybody here see my old friend Bobby? Can you tell me where he's gone? I thought I saw him walking up over the hill, Abraham and Martin.
We shall overcome. It ends the president's letter. We shall overcome. And I remember this song right after President Obama's election. How much more meaningful it was for me, certainly, that there are sacrifices and big sacrifices that get you to the point you're at. And it was a very emotional time 8 years ago. And here we are 8 years later, passage of time, marking that time and remembering a president who I think will go down, will be remembered as a very truly great president. You look at his administration. I mean, healthcare alone, and I guess what's troubling to me these days is that there's a conversation going on in this country about repealing the Affordable Health Care Act, commonly known as Obamacare, and that's fine. You know, I mean, this is part of politics, but there isn't a conversation about how do we tend to people. It's remarkable. I saw a post today on social media. It's a beautiful Armenian cross. You know, the one that I'm talking about. And I'm sorry, I'm not going to put a link on it because I would not promote it any more than this. It says, "Descendant of the first Christian nation for Trump." What? Yeah. Yep, yep. Talk about cheesy, talk about meaningless, talk about stupidity. Descendant of the first Christian nation. It's interesting. I was at two high schools today talking to students. And, you know, we talk about this idea about being descendants of the first Christian nation, being a part of the first Christian nation. Armenian is the first Christian nation. And the excitement that people have in this idea that somehow through osmosis we are worthy of that title, you know, and because it is only through osmosis, because at what point do you challenge yourselves to make those words Christian mean something a little bit more than a cheap slogan? That's what it is, really. It's a cheap slogan. It's something that you throw on there to advertise. First Christian nation, descendant of the first Christian nation for Trump. That doesn't even make sense. And, you know, this past week we had remembrance of Dr. Martin Luther King. We do something at In His Shoes every year, and this year, because of weather conditions, we weren't able to travel. Things got a little bit messed up, but we still got together with a few friends, and we kicked around some readings of Dr. King, and which really are inspiring readings. And the point that he's not just Dr. King, he's a Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. He was a minister of the gospel. And just so many beautiful writings where he insists that that gospel has to have a message and has to become real in our lives, really pushing it. And Tuesday, the day after the holiday of Dr. King, I was invited to the college, and there I had a chance to speak with students. We had a gathering, I'd say about a couple hundred people. It was a breakfast gathering. It was interfaith. And again, I repeat it here because it is important. It is a time of arrival, you know. I mean, there's four faith communities represented: the Buddhist, the Muslim, the Jew, and the Christian. And the Christian is represented by the agent of the Armenian Apostolic Church, Armenian Orthodoxy, Armodoxy. It's a very big moment because we are able to articulate a sentiment. And that is the sentiment that Dr. King articulated. It was about love, about passion, about being able to combat the evil with goodness, to fight the fire with water rather than with more fire. And it's sad. This is the sadness of today's passing, as the torch is being passed on to the next president of the United States. It's more than just the Twitter account POTUS is going to be tossed over to another president. But there's power, yes, obviously, but there's also a mentality. There's also a sentiment that goes with it. And we're seeing less and less tolerance. We're seeing another language of hatred, a language of roughness. And we have to ask ourselves, is this what we should be putting out there? It's definitely a question that I throw out there. Is this what America's about? And some people have the right, and of course they'll stand up and say, yes, it is. It's certainly something that I can't buy into. And I'm having a hard time. I have to tell you that I am mourning, in a sense, the loss of a president to this presidency. And I know there's all kinds of beauty in what's going to happen in the transition of power. There is a beauty in America that we are able to have a peaceful transition of power. What in many other countries would erupt in civil war, in violence, here, it's a peaceful transition. And the Obamas have been very gracious, as we heard that the Bushes before them were gracious to them. And so the Obamas are being very gracious in transitioning, handing over the White House, the keys, so to speak, and will be fading out as a new administration takes over. It's an interesting exchange of power, continuity of power. But for me, as a clergyman, as a priest, it begs the question, it brings the question to focus. What about our faith? What about the reality of who we are as Christians? How do we exercise that Christian understanding of love in the broader context of politics of the world? And so as we go on with this next step, how about if we take a break right now? Listen to a short song. Short in the sense that it goes by quickly. It is from the Christmas season, and as well, yeah, like I said, today we're still celebrating, a little bit late. Aisor Tzainan Hairagan. This is called Today, The Voice of the Father, in reference to, of course, the voice of the Father who says, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased," at the baptism of Jesus. This particular recording comes to us from the Venn group, and there will be a link on today's show notes right now. Close your eyes for a while, unless you're driving, of course, but close your eyes right now and just kind of like enjoy this moment. Aisor Tzainan Hairagan. I Sortzein Heiragan, and this is off of the Vem recording. I'll put a link on today's show notes. It happens to be one of the songs that is, the hymns that is sung during the blessing of water service, tied in with the baptism of Jesus Christ. And if you happen to be on the old Julian calendar, today happens to be January 19th. And you happen to be in a monastery that happens to be on that old calendar, and you happen to be there at the time of the blessing of water, guess what? You get to hear this particular song. But I would venture to say that it is probably won't be as good as what you just heard. I saw Simon Heidegger.
As soon as you're born, they make you feel small by giving you no time instead of it all. Till the pain is so big you feel nothing at all. A working class hero is something to be.
Issues of equality have always been important to me, inside of my ministry as well as outside of it. Prior to my ministry, I remember even as a kid being just incensed at the inequality that we would see. So often, as innocent as we might see it on a playground at elementary school, as we might see it manifesting these inequality situations in world situations. But particularly in equality towards gender. I've never really understood that. And it's been really one of my difficult issues within my ministry. Early on in my ministry, I had an opportunity to coach a young lady who wanted to be a deacon. And we even had a ordaining bishop who was ready in the Armenian church, who was ready to ordain her as a deacon. And for a variety of reasons that didn't happen, but I've shared this with you in the past, but it does speak close to my heart because she did make it up the ranks, four ranks of the Armenian church. And she was so well versed in Armenian church liturgics that she was celebrating, and she was doing, celebrating the divine liturgy in the form of a deacon. She was actually reading the gospel messages. I believe it's on YouTube somewhere. Let me see. I'll make a note if we can. We'll make sure that we put it up on today's show notes, where she's reading the gospel in the church reserved for the deacon. Right? Okay. Anyway, this goes back for me. And one of the problems that I've always had is been this head covering gig. You see this in Armenian churches a lot. You see this in the traditional churches, primarily because St. Paul in Holy Scripture says, women, cover your heads. That's how simple it is. Or maybe it's not that simple. Actually, if you read Holy Scriptures, and we find this passage in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 11. It says, for if a woman does not cover her head, she might as well have her hair cut off. But if it is a disgrace for a woman to have her hair cut off or her head shaved, then she should cover her hair. Every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head, for it is just as if her head were shaved. A man ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and the glory of God, but the woman is the glory of man. Okay, is it right for me to say that this has bothered me? I'm sure it's bothered a lot of people, and I'm sure, I hope, out there in the next step audience, it does bother some people, because this is where it comes from. Women should cover their hair. And so it's become a tradition in many of the more traditional churches. Yeah. Many of the more older churches, especially in the Orthodox tradition, that women have to come into church covered in their hair. So much so that a big ordeal takes place. Head coverings are offered at the door. Sometimes head coverings are not only offered at the door, but you have some very zealous people of both genders who will go out and toss them on your head. I've seen this where they actually toss them like frisbees at people and hope that they land on their head. Well, let me tell you, in the churches that I've been, I've made a point of saying that that isn't as important as coming into the church with a clean spirit. And in the whole grand scheme of things, it really isn't important. I'd rather have somebody there with their head uncovered than not have them there at all. And in relation to the passage that I read, you could see that it is a timely passage. In other words, it comes from a different time. It is time sensitive. It comes from a different time where there was no equality, okay? And now you're in the 21st century. And this doesn't mean the truth is lost, but it does mean that the understanding of that truth has shifted. The truth is having that reverence. And that that's an important word. You know, in Armenian, yergur is reverence. Yergur a lot of times gets translated to vach, gets translated to the fear of God. It's really of the reverence of God. It's having this appreciation for God. And head coverings, okay? Taliban style, right? Cover your head. I remember when in Turkey, in the evenings, we were traveling with a group of men and women from America, and we were, of course, the only ones where the women didn't have their head covered. And we'd see a lot of times the women with their head coverings where you'd only see their eyes. And it was a very tragic little scene that we'd see here and there. When you'd see people not only with the head coverings, but you'd see them actually oppressed, suppressed and oppressed. Anyway, different country, different people. But here we are in 21st century in America. And I made a conscious decision of saying as the pastor that to me, that is a secondary issue. Whether you want to have your head covered and, you know, equally, obviously, there's people who don't want their head covered. And there are people that want their head covered. And it also used to bother me because as a kid, we'd go to youth activities and we'd have, for instance, at the camp outdoors and we'd celebrate the divine liturgy. And young little girls, because they were told they had to have a head covering and didn't have a scarf with them, would take a Kleenex, a tissue, and place it on top of their heads. Yeah. It was nice, right? It's they know that they had to do something. So they put these little Kleenex. And it used to look funny. Because if you didn't have Kleenex, you'd put toilet paper on there. Think about it for a moment, okay? This was acceptable, and it still is, and people do it. And a lot of churches still insist on it. In fact, so much so that I go into it now that I'm visiting many churches. I go into churches, and I see that, you know, there is this insistence. But back in Glendale, where 13 years ago we started the youth ministry, it was so important for me to bring young people into the church that we just made it a policy. And in particular, I think it was the second or third week that we started doing services there in Glendale, that a group of zealous people had made these head coverings. And as people were coming up to receive communion on their own, completely on their own, not even questioning the pastor who's given the ecclesiastical charge of that community, on their own, as these people were coming up to receive communion, would toss them like a frisbee and hoping that they would make the women's heads. Meanwhile, men were able to come in with an assortment of different clothing and paraphernalia on their bodies and everything, and there was no problem with that, but the women had to have these things. And so that first time that I saw that tossing the frisbee game in my church, I said, I'm sorry, stop it. And I remember I suffered a lot for this. A lot of people complained and everything, but it was to no avail because fortunately I had an incredible parish council that had the guts to stand with me. And we stood together and we said, no, you're not going to do this. You're not going to do it. And we had the head coverings available at the door of the church. People wanted to use them, they're free to use them, but nobody would have the right to push it on another people. And until the last day that I served as the pastor of that church, That was the policy. Okay, people would come up. And if some of them would come up without head covering, some of them would come up with covering. But you know what? People started coming for the more important thing, which was the Holy Eucharist, which was being in communion with Christ at that moment, understanding that the Badarak was transcendent of all of these extra things that we do. And unfortunately, what happened is after I left that parish in Glendale, just within a few weeks, the head coverings showed up. Can you believe it? People wanting to oppress others and not trusting their clergymen, you know, that maybe he's wrong. And it got to my ear that they even said that, well, Father Voskin was a little bit liberal and this wasn't the tradition of the Armenian Church. Okay, well, if you're a priest as long as I am, you get a little bit thick-skinned. I wish I could be a little bit more, but I'm not as thick-skinned as I'd like to be. But still, you let those slide away. But here's what happened. Here's what happened. We continue to do the outreach programs. We continue to tend to the poor. We continue to feed the hungry. And all of a sudden, guess what? The same people who are doing the twirling and the tossing, namely the Armenian Taliban, right? Think about it for a moment. The Armenian Taliban. These people were against us feeding the homeless, sheltering the homeless, feeding the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty. They were against that. They couldn't even support it. And so all of a sudden, here's the question that I had to ask. In the grand scheme of things, when you're standing in front of God, and you have to answer for what you did with your life, you're going to be able to say that, hey, I went to church and I put a veil on my head. Or you're going to say that I saw my brother who was hungry and I fed him. I saw a homeless man and I gave him shelter. And what do you think God is going to say? I'm sorry you didn't wear a veil. Well, I'll tell you what God's going to say. In fact, Jesus says exactly. People are going to come up to me and say, Lord, Lord. And I'm going to say, I don't know you. Because I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was homeless and you didn't give me shelter. I was in the hospital. You didn't visit me. People are going to say, when did we see that and not do it? And he says, whenever you have or haven't done it for the least of my brothers or sisters, you have or have not done it to me. In other words, he's equating himself. You want to love people. You want to do the mission of the church. Get out there and help people. And it's been really bothersome to me because we have so many good, well-meaning people who will go out on a limb and support these kind of peripheral things, such as wearing head coverings, and not really support the outreach of helping and uplifting the human spirit. And now I'm seeing people come out of the woodwork and start defending this kind of bogus, really bogus, understanding of religion. And I guess it's easier to do that. It's easier to put a piece of toilet paper on your head than it is to go out and feed somebody. Honestly, I understand that, okay, yeah. You go and you take that roll of toilet paper and guess what? You buy the extra fluffy one that has the double ply and you can get a 2-3 month supply of head coverings there for the cost of one toilet tissue, to one roll of toilet paper. Or you can go out there and you can spend what you have in supporting and helping somebody truly in need. And I guess God is going to look at you and say that, oh yeah, you got the toilet paper. Thank you very much. You know, children know better than this too. I was at the high school today. I said, how many of you pray that prayer, you know, where you make a deal with God, you know, give me an A, God. And you know what? I'm going to go to church and light a candle this Sunday. Like God really cares if you're going to light a candle or not, right? That's our mentality. That's where it starts, I guess. It starts with this Santa Claus idea of God, right? That he rewards the good and he punishes the wicked. And we've been sold a bill of goods in which is this equation for inequality as well. And thank God that we are using the wisdom that he has given us, the reasoning that he has given us. Thank God that we are listening a little bit more and understanding that it's not about suppressing or oppressing other people, but it's about all of us extending our hands to one another. But it is this mentality that's not only within the church, but we're seeing it throughout the world. And I want to bring today's discussion really to an end, because I am really incensed. I can't take people who look at me and look at me and say, who will be prejudiced? Okay, maybe the color of my skin is not dark enough for them to be prejudiced against the darkness of my skin, but they will be prejudiced against new ideas. And it infuriates me, because they'll look at me, and because I am not born in some other country and I am an Armenian priest, the assumption is that there's a liberal element to me that is not found in the church. And quite the opposite, as you have followed through Armadoxy and through the next step, as you're learning with me, right, you're understanding that Jesus was the first revolutionary. Jesus wouldn't attend a church where people would put toilet paper on their head. Jesus wouldn't be there. And you're understanding that it's much more than all of these bogus manifestations that we have of what faith should be. But there is this mentality, this Taliban mentality. It's part of my dilemma of being misunderstood. And I say that it is a dilemma for me, because people will look at me and all of a sudden just throw me into that camp and say, well, this guy doesn't get it. Guess what? We get it a lot better. We are more in tune with the gospel message and in the message and the tradition of the Armenian Orthodox Church. I've shared that with you, that Nerses Shnorhali, the prolific hymnologist, theologian, Catholicos of all Armenians, 12th century, in his writings, how he talked to us on the level of extending ourselves through love. Hovhannes Blues Vartabed, one of the early, early scholars of the church, of the Armenian Orthodox Church, how he talked about our need to love and extend ourselves to one another. There is so much out there that I resent it when they throw me into a camp and say, well, he's liberal, he doesn't get it. No, you don't get it. You don't get it. If you're putting a piece of toilet paper on your head, if you're putting a nicely knit veil on your head, you're still not getting it if you're not out there supporting and helping those people in need. That's how simple it is. And so what I want to share with you today in closing is a few quotes from Dr. Martin Luther King. It's because of the mentality that's on there, and I couldn't help but go in this direction today. It says, nothing in all the world is more dangerous than sincere ignorance and conscientious stupidity. Let's read that again. Nothing in all the world is more dangerous than sincere ignorance and conscientious stupidity. Think about that in the context of what we've been talking about. Think about that for a moment in what we've been sharing in this idea of what our faith really should be. The issue of the head coverings, it's not about covering your head. It's being consumed with things that really do not matter. That's how simple it is. But while we're doing some quoting, I want to quote one more quote before we end it all, because I think it really brings it. It's George Bernard Shaw. And it is really beautiful, because if you think about it, it's the people who stand there and pretend, whether it's during Jesus' time or whether it's today, people who pretend to know it all and be the guardians of the faith. It says, beware of false knowledge. It is more dangerous than ignorance. George Bernard Shaw. I'll be back in a couple moments.
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the ninth year of producing shows which are heard around the globe. Since 2008, we've provided quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. Please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Well, thank you, Susie, for that announcement, and thank you for joining us today. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support and continued support for this ministry and this broadcast. I do want to alert you to an incredible opportunity coming up March 10th, 11th, and 12th. It's a conference that we're organizing in Burbank at the Western Diocese Cathedral Complex. It is a three-day event that you're not going to want to miss. It's a Christian conference. It's an opportunity for you to get out there and really engage with some incredible people, engage with some speakers. Well, those of you on the Next Step circuit know that there's a few people that I really, really care about. For instance, Linda Maxwell, for instance, Gor Mkhitaryan, Gregory Baylarian. These are going to be part of the conference. I've had them on the show. I've shared with you a lot of stuff that they've done. But along with them also, we're going to have an assortment of priests. We're going to be talking about issues of faith, about simple things like how to raise children in this changing society, how to find the right partner in life. We're going to be hearing from different speakers. We'll be talking about the rhythms of Armenian church hymns and actually dancing to them. Can you believe that? Yes. We're having a speaker come out all the way from London. Will be with us. She'll be teaching dance, spiritual dancing. We're going to be having Adrian Krikorian. Now, here's a judge, a United States judge, who is working in Armenia with young girls who are being who are targets of human trafficking. And she's saving them by working through this project called Merhuis. You're going to be able to meet with them. You're going to talk to people about prayer, about spirituality, about following your dreams. This is 3 days you are not going to want to miss. And you can get more information. I'll have a link on today's show notes. But here's the deal. It's $125 US dollars, okay, for 3 days. That includes all of your meals. That includes all of the program. I want to do a special for my Next Step listeners right now. And this is just going to happen. I'm going to give you just a few days till the end of this month to do it, okay? What you need to do is you need to go on the website embracing-faith.com and register for the conference. What you'll find over there is a scholarship button. If you need assistance, be happy to pay for that $125. That's for Next Step listeners, because I'm running the conference, okay? So you, my Next Step listeners, are number one for me. You've been in the hall with me, okay? I want to take care of your tuition, the $125, okay? It's yours. It's a gift from me, okay? All you need to do is go on there and register. There's a button that says scholarship, okay? Just hit it. Doesn't matter. And we're calling it youth conference, but youth rally. But it's really not a youth rally connected with age. It's really a faith rally. It's connected with faith, okay? So get on there and just hit the scholarship button. And I think it's just a small little line. You have to fill in there who you are and why you want the scholarship. In its place, all you need to do is say, I listen to the Next Step, and Father Vazgen promised this to me. Okay? Say it. Don't be intimidated. Just do it. Say it there. Within a day, you'll get a code, and that code will allow you to register for entire 3 days at no cost. That's my gift to you, to say thank you to you for all that you do, for all of your prayers, for all of your support throughout the years. That's how simple it is, okay? I want to see you there. Now, as far as getting there to Burbank, that's going to be your feat. I hope you could do it. I hope you can figure out how to get there. But once you're there, I'm taking care of everything. You just need to do that part, okay? That's a promise from me. Embracing-faith.com. It'll be in our show notes as well as everything else we've talked about today. Hey, I'm going to call it a day right now. We are running up against the clock. Thursday's almost over. We do have inauguration tomorrow and opportunity for us to reflect a little bit more on what's going on in this world. It is a changing world, but it is a beautiful world. It is made in fashion by God himself. And this is a very special thing that we need to tune in and focus in on, that despite ourselves, we're going to get through it. But we do need prayers for this world. We need prayers, especially this evening, for the incoming president, prayers for the outgoing president, to be thankful in a thankful heart for the leadership that he has shown. And we wish him all the best, President Barack Obama. We wish President-elect tomorrow to be President Trump, the wisdom, the patience, and the knowledge to know the difference, right? Perhaps as Reinhold Niebuhr would have said, we wish him the best. Listen, this is the end of our show for this evening. Let me leave you with where I'm going to be. This Sunday, I'm going to be out at the St. Opgar Armenian Church in Scottsdale, Arizona. Looking forward to going back to Arizona and being out there and celebrating the Divine Liturgy. If you happen to be in the area, please do stop by Sunday morning. Would love to see you. Listen, I want to thank you for joining us. Meet us throughout the week at the usual spots on all social media and on the mothership, inissues.org. For the wonderful crew who put today's show together, for Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, this is Father Boskin, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of vpostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
You're seeing the same sky as we are.